and welcome back to another Co-op the Cast. This is Co-op the Cast, episode number 110. That's 110. It's Monday, July the 15th, 2013. The whole crew is here. It's a fresh start with a new website.
It is.
How's everybody doing?
I'm sick, but I am excited with all these Steam sale games coming in.
I am well and feeling ill over the amount that this Steam sale is going to hurt me.
Before we jump into how we've been playing, let's do a real quick rundown of what we've bought so far on Steam sales. Lock, go ahead.
I'm not going first.
Come on, tell us what you bought.
I'm not going first. Okay.
All right, so I have bought Tomb Raider, Call of Juarez, Gunslinger, Hotline Miami, and I think that's been it so far.
Okay.
No, there's one other, but I can't remember what it is right now. That's the way these things go. I have like five games. I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Mike, what about you? What have you bought?
I bought... Oh, geez. I bought Borderlands 2 for a friend. I bought... I bought Knights of the Old Republic 2 because it was $2.50. I bought Mirror's Edge because for some damn reason I don't have it.
What? That's not true. It's probably just somewhere hidden in your library of not installed games.
No, I didn't have it. I played it through on the Xbox. And I bought Fez for PC because it was $5. And also Broken. I tried playing it today and my screen just flickers, which is pretty freaking awesome if you ask me.
So it's broken. The game lives up to its title.
Yeah. And I bought... I think that's it. I think that's all I've paid for
it's
so
not too
far.
Bad. It's not too bad.
I owe it, but the problem is this sale doesn't have the big publisher packs.
Good.
Like the rest of them usually do. So, like, all of the games that have been on sale I already own. So I've been having a really hard time saying, you know what, I really need to get this. And it's just like, there's a bunch of 4X games that I've been kind of interested in. And I said, you know what, I really don't have time to do that right now. So I'm not going to because I have all this other stuff I need to play. I might buy Kerbal Space Program. My boss showed me that today and it was just hilariously stupid. So
I've heard good things about that.
It's basically like... You have this massive facility that you can build spaceships in, and then you just hit launch, and it puts these three little cartoon dudes in it, and their faces go from like, "All right," to as their ship's blowing up. But
that's cool.
It's pretty funny.
You launch them into the sun.
Yeah,
I've done pretty good on the Steam sale. I haven't spent too much. I picked up Rogue Legacy. I picked up Thomas Was Alone.
Good.
That was $2.50.
Good choice.
I wanted to check that out for a while. And I went on a 4-pack for RPG Maker VX Ace to kind of play around with that. That was like $17 each if you got the 4-pack. So I think it's normally like $100. So it was a pretty decent deal. And that's it for me. All right, Locke. You got the list?
Sure, yeah.
You ready?
Okay, here we go.
Let's hear it.
In alphabetical order.
No, this is in order starting. This is most current to latest. Cinemora, Castle Crashers, Dust, Deadlight, McPixel, Trist, Wanderlust, Penny Arcade, 4, Star Drive, Tomb Raider, Angel of Darkness, Tomb Raider 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Tomb Raider Underworld, Tomb Raider Anniversary, Tomb Raider Legend, Surgeon Simulator, Nethergate Resurrection, Avernum Great Trials, Geneforge Saga, Rogue Legacy, Resh Bros, 2-Pack, Another World, Dyad, La Mulana, Retrograde, Slambolt Scrappers, Go Home Dinosaurs, Cairo, Strike Suit Zero, Mega Bundle, Zack Zero, Scribblenauts Unlimited, Antichamber, Splice, The Cave, Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection, Soul Survivor.
I've seen all of those on sale.
I'd like to point out I also bought Penny Arcade 4.
It's well worth it. It's an awesome game.
Lock. We're going to call someone.
No, but you see what they've done is they have all these cards, and I need all these cards. These cards are right
here. That's just it. He has all these games. Guess what game he's been playing?
I'm playing the metagame.
Dota 2!
I've been playing the metagame. I'm past playing games. I'm buying games to play the card games.
Lock.
Stop it.
If you're buying all these games to get the cards, go to the fucking marketplace. And pay 15 cents per card you need.
No, but the cards come
and
with
you
the
have
game.
Spent less money than you have on all these games you're never going to play.
No, I'm
going to
play them.
Yes, you're going
just
to load
to
up
watch.
Their menu. You're going to load up their menu screen and go take a shit while the, the game unlocks the cards.
Don't tell
for
them
you.
My secret.
He's gonna spend some quality time in the shower again.
So yeah.
All right, let's talk about what we've been playing instead of what we've been buying. Locke, what have you actually played?
Played a little ditty called Scourge Outbreak, which with Mike and Nick and Andrew. Jason, you're lucky you got out of this one, but
No. Oh, go back and look at the original one.
Sorry, you didn't have to go through it a second time, unlike Mr. Nick here. But yeah, that is the remake / port of the Scourge. What is it? The Scourge Files, the original
Scourge
Project for PC. So they took 3 years to make it. Now it's going to be released to, you know, downloadable XBLA and PSN as well as PC. Sci-fi third person shooter with an emphasis on co-op. I see a lot of
stop me if you've heard this
before. yeah we saw Fuse, what was that, a month ago or two. Each sort of character has their own shtick, if you will, but in this game nothing changes between the characters other than their voice and what appears to be cutscenes that you see different cutscenes, although I haven't been able to go through the game. I haven't been able to stomach going through as a second character because the game's...
I thought everybody's shield was slightly different.
That is it? Is that the thing? Between... My guy just tosses his shield out and blocks bullets. That's it. I'm not...
Yeah, well, they all have the same shield, but like I think some people can carry it with them and some people can just put it down.
Okay. Maybe.
I think they're a little different. I don't know. I played that game too.
And the
hey Locke. Hey Locke. Yeah. One more minute of this.
Yeah, I know.
Just one more minute of this.
Gross. Oh, that yeah, that we was... we had some really good times trying to pass this one kill room that just poured enemies at you while you were waiting for something to happen. I can't remember what. And we failed that like 3 times by 1 second each time.
Yeah,
and
awesome. Yeah, it was pretty
that
bad.
Was it for Nick. I trudged on a little bit more. Mike, I don't know how far you got, but on the second
check... Well, in my efforts to join your co-op session, my 360 mic died, so I can't voice chat on the 360 anymore.
Can't yell.
And you guys were wrapping up your session, and I was just trying to play with you guys and
have some fun.
I ended up going and playing alone for about 15 minutes and
it's tough.
I that game was so good. I nearly took my 360 and unhooked it from the TV. Sure that I would never play a better game. Yeah. And I would never have to use that console again.
Yeah. But really it's unfortunate because you have this small indie developer from Spain that's trying to, you know, take on a big project. They previously, before the Scourge project, they had done a smaller game, and taking on this, you know, voice acted third person shooter action sort of pop and stop shooter, it's unfortunate because it's such a saturated market and genre that you really have to do something different, and it kind of trips over its own feet. It's very technically flawed, and the checkpointing's bad, the AI is really bad. And it's a rough go, which is unfortunate because
I think the big thing that stuck out to me, honestly, like I can deal with the fact that it's from a small studio, so it's going to be rough around the edges. It was the fundamentals of the control scheme just didn't work for me. And I understand someone told me, one of you told me that I needed to turn off the auto aim the console version has, but it was like, I found it next to impossible to line up a good shot with the default controls, and there were times when I'd try and stick to cover, and I'd end up rolling out of cover and just right in front of a dude who shotguns me in the face.
So,
and it just didn't feel... It didn't feel right.
When I played it on the PC, the biggest thing about it was that at the time, it was kind of really cool to have this idea of four different people that would co-op together for a third-person shooter, because it wasn't really that common of an idea or something that we'd seen like a very good iteration of. But the technical problems, kind of like you were pinpointing, Locke, were absolutely sort of just what bogged it down. I'm not sure if they had like taken smaller chunks of it, because, you know, they were talking about doing episodic content, and it's like almost episode one, if they had broken that into smaller pieces and really refined, here's like chapters one and two, and then three and four, all from episode one. I'm not sure if that would have been better with that or not.
I mean, they really just have to. They have a multiplayer mode that no one's going to touch. Why wouldn't you just scrap that? You have an arcade title that you know going into this that you're not going to compete with Gears of War or anything like that. Even Crysis, any third-person shooter that has some money behind it, you're not going to compete with. So cut the fat. Don't spend any development time or money on a multiplayer and polish up your campaign, because it needs it. Like, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you how long it takes to develop a multiplayer, but I'm sure they put time into that where that needs to go into your game if it is flawed and you can barely shoot guys in that game. The weapons mechanics are so bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be the future. Lasers are accurate. Why are they flying around? Like,
I liked the, you know,
well, you've seen Star Wars. They can't hit the broadside of a barn.
But you're the good guys.
You know, I was reading your review today, Locke, and how you mentioned it was only like 12 years in the future.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's like,
you're like, that's 12 years from now.
2026, like, which is 13 years from now, we can drop ship from space. And like, what the hell? So anyways, that's...
Well, no, you play the game, you can't drop ship from space because it crash lands.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the whole setup.
Yep. So that's Scourge Outbreak. Right. It's not very good. I mean, there's no reason for anyone to touch this, which is unfortunate, but whatever. Swing and a miss.
All right.
Talk about knocking it out of the park. Rogue Legacy. Who's been doing that?
Jason. Jason's.
I've been playing a lot of Rogue Legacy.
Yeah, you talk about it, because I've only finished the first boss, but I really like it.
It's, And I was telling, I was chatting with Mike one day, but I was like, I feel
I
almost like
all you
I'm doing this
it.
Wrong. You didn't convince me of anything. You know what convinced me? I was bored.
What?
So playing through it, the thing that kind of like I was chatting with Mike about was like, I think I'm doing this wrong because I've only killed two bosses, and now I'm like into year 2000 or something like that, 2500 of my ancestors. Like, a lot of people have died to get me here. Am I doing this right? And he was just like, I'm in the year 3000, so, you know, you're doing something right. what I find interesting about it, though, is the progression kind of as you go through that. I mean, you never know exactly what's going to happen because of the random of the castle and what your ancestors are going to have, if they have vertigo, if they're colorblind, if they're ADHD or whatever the case may be. So you start off kind of like just picking the best of the situation that you provide and kind of rolling with it. And the different character classes as you unlock more and more really present some interesting ways to play the game. I think that more than anything else, you know, aside from the equipment that you get or increasing your stats, the different character classes. Like, I've had really great runs with the Lich class that haven't compared to anything like with the Paladin or anything else like that. The little quick, sorry, background.
The Lich is overpowered as hell.
He kind of is. The quick background, sorry about the different character classes, is that when you choose your descendant or whatever, each one has slightly different abilities, and they also have different stats to go with them. So, like, the Paladin gets the full benefit of all of the health and strength and stuff like that. Other classes, they have like reduced health, but they get increased strength or something. So I found it really interesting, the balance that they have with that. And now I'm up to the final boss of the game and kind of see what the game's all about.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. I'll probably kill 10 more of my progeny before I beat the final boss, but you know, it's been worth it. In addition to that, speaking of rogues, I played a game called Risk of Rain this past weekend, the beta for it, that I know, Locke, you're going to like.
What is it?
Mike, I think you're going to dig as well.
I live in Oregon. I run the Risk of Rain by existing. Okay.
All right. So it's a sci-fi roguelike. Ooh. It's, you know, it's It's set on, like, you crash land on a planet and you're trying to get off of it.
Art style. I totally read the article on this.
Very much reminds me of the Super Brothers games. Super Brothers and, like, Sword and Sorcery and stuff like that. It reminds me of that kind of art style. So you choose, like, a character class at the start of it, and they, again, have different abilities. You are kind of like a ranged class or a melee class. The thing that's the kind of twist to the game is that as the game goes on, like, as time progresses, the enemies themselves get tougher and tougher. So your race to kind of beat the clock is basically a race of your own abilities. Like, you know, how much treasure you can find to kind of help boost you, make things easier, how good you can play the game. Because, you know, if you're not that skilled, you might run through faster, which has its own hazards, because as you get further along, the enemies themselves just naturally get tougher. So there's this constant kind of back and forth of how much time do I spend on this one area killing guys and maybe trying to get some treasure versus moving on to the next area and hoping I do better there. So really kind of fun to play.
Is it a dungeon crawler, or is it
all action, like, you know, side-scrolling platformer? Okay. Yeah, side-scrolling platformer. The goal of each level is basically you got to find the teleporter to take you off that level. So you start somewhere randomly on the level. Teleporter is placed randomly. It could be like 5 feet away from you. But once you get to the teleporter, you have to survive for 90 seconds. And after you survive for 90 seconds, then you have to kill whatever remaining enemies there are. Usually when you get to the teleport too, you have to fight a boss. You know, which are just more powerful versions of the enemies that you normally fight. So they added a lot of different challenges to it. And the items that you get do things like you'll have a kind of area around you that any enemy that gets near you, they get damaged. Or if they touch you, they get infected by poison. If you hit enemies, you get health back. Stuff like that. A lot of different, you know, ways to kind of vary up the gameplay. A lot of fun. Like, just, I went through and I sat down and I had one session of it. And the second that I died, I picked it up and started playing again. Local co-op only right now, but they're, per the announcement, they're adding online co-ops. And I was talking with the devs a little bit, and they're looking at possibly maybe also doing combo co-op. They haven't figured that out yet, but the guy was like, you know, we haven't discussed that, but that sounds like a lot of fun to do. So
nice.
Cool.
Awesome game. Check it out.
Alrighty. Mike, what about you? What have you been playing?
Well, I played a lot of Rogue Legacy, because that game's great. I favor the Hokage class. I enjoy the being able to transform into a log and teleport.
I enjoy the ability just to one-shot things.
Well, that's only so good for a while. Like, you have to really over-level for that to be super useful, but I just like that they're kind of quicker.
Yeah.
But the meat of my playtime has been Borderlands 2. Got back into that in a big way. A buddy of mine has been playing, so we've been doing a lot of co-op. Been playing through Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep. And, excuse me. Sorry, my dog is just down there having a nightmare or something. Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep is probably the best thing to have ever come out of Borderlands. It is so good. It's just I can't even describe it. It's like they just said, you know, we're already pretty self-referential and weird, and let's just go full on Deadpool and break the fourth wall in every conceivable fashion. It stars the original four Vault Hunters, and they are playing a game of Bunkers and Badasses with Tina, and it's just like a D&D campaign, you know, complete with stuff like, you know, the DM having to rebalance combat on the fly, or rename a zone, or, you know, finding weapons that shoot swords that explode into smaller swords, and it's just...
Best gun ever.
It's so much fun. It's everything that was irreverent and fun about Borderlands, and they've just cranked it up to... They've cranked it up to 100%, and, you know, if you like Tiny Tina or you don't like Tiny Tina, I don't think it'll matter.
Yeah.
because they do things that with the story that actually make you feel like if Gearbox tried, they could tell a story in Borderlands. They like Borderlands 2 has a definite story arc, but its story has never been Borderlands' strong suit. You kind of go to an area and there's like a little story about the area, and then, you know, Jack will kind of, you know, talk some hot mess down at you while you're doing your stuff there, but it's really disconnected. And this just feels cohesive. It feels so different. The environments are real fun, and I really like it.
I really like the fact that they make magic your grenades. Like, magic missile is a grenade type and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like that there are... I love all of the Dark Souls references in it. They are so dumb, but they're so great.
That one quest in particular, right?
Yeah. There's a quest, and you get a quest early on where, you know, the name of the quest is called MMORPG FPS, and so you're sent to go kill this monster, but by the time you get to it, there are three other players there. Complete with like their usernames floating over their heads, and they're waiting for the rare spawn in the zone, and they're like, you know, they see you, they're like, no, we were here first, we're gonna get this. And so the monster spawns and they kill it, and they're trying to get a kill for everyone in their group. So the game basically does the equivalent of typing /PvP in WoW, and you have to grief the players. So there's one guy who you have to headshot, there's one guy you have to kill with melee, and another guy that you have to teabag. And one of the guys just does nothing but yell YOLO at you over and over and over.
What is he? He's like esports 420 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you know, esports 420 YOLO hashtag. What? Yeah, it's just so dumb, but it's hilarious. My buddy and I were just laughing our asses off on voice comms.
Sounds great.
It's fun. The whole campaign's like that. There's like you meet dwarves, right? And all of the dwarves are Salvador.
Awesome.
Like they're just all Salvador with different gear on, and the characters are like, you know, not all dwarves look the same. Tina's like, you trying to call me racist? And then you just hear her like push away from the table, and she walks off, and's like, hey Salvador, all these dwarves look like you. Is that okay? And he shouts back up like, that's awesome! And then she comes back and is like, yeah, not racist. It's so stupid. And I love it. It's great.
All right.
And I also played... Cool. I fired Torchlight 2 back up.
Hey, nice.
I've been playing a little bit with the engineer class. Kind of digging that.
Cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, actually, I've been playing a bunch of stuff. Just a little bit here or there. I fired up Diablo 3 finally. It's been a game where for like the past 3 months, every time I fired it up, it had an update, and by the time the update finished, I would been on to something else, or like my authenticator wasn't charged. It's an old iPod. Oh. Stole my authenticator.
Oh no!
So by the time it would get charged up enough, it'd be like, whatever, I'll do it later. But I finally actually got back and played a little bit of that. So.
Nice.
So how close to beating it are you?
Probably not even close. I'm still in like the desert area.
Oh Jesus, stuff. You're not even halfway.
I think my raptor count said I put 12 hours into it. So
man, I should just show up with like my level 61 dude or whatever, and just like mow through.
I'm enjoying it. I'm just taking my time. So
I have multiple characters who have beaten that game at this point.
I wrapped up Fuse, which was pretty solid. I started playing Last of Us, Company Heroes 2, been playing through the campaign of that. Locke, we still have to play some co-op.
I've been playing tons of that with buddies. It's fun.
Yeah.
Getting stomped by the computer because I'm terrible.
But probably the game that I've played the most time with, at least recently, was the Civ 5 Brave New World expansion, which I'm kind of torn on. Like, I don't know if anybody read my review, but it almost overcomplicates the game. Like, it makes it a little less accessible because there's so many ways you can kind of achieve victory that it dilutes what you want to do. Like, if you don't set out right away,
focus.
And, like, under Yeah, like if you don't understand how the basic game works, if you're like, okay, I'll try and do this kind of a thing. Like if you're just playing and you're learning and you see something accumulating, you're like, yeah, I'll go for that. Like there's too much of it now. It's spread out between like the culture and the gold and conquering stuff. Like I think pretty much everybody when they first play a civilization game, they go for conquering.
Yeah.
Like they just want to wipe out all the other things. And they've really taken the focus back from that in this. There's a lot of really cool like meta elements. There's this World Congress, which is basically like the UN, that gets triggered about halfway through, and like you literally vote on bonuses nice. That get applied to everybody in it. And the bigger civilization is, the more representatives you get at it, and the more votes you get to count. So you can do things like basically you could like nullify like effects of the Wanderers if you wanted to, or you can like add effects. There's so much to do now. Like I almost felt lost. Like I was like, okay, well, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm essentially rushing through games for the review to try and learn it the best I can. And it was just that there's just so much, so many options. And there's this whole tourism thing now, and there's this whole great works of art. So now you can build buildings and there's spots for great works, and then a great artist will appear and then they can have them create the great work, and then that drives tourism and culture, and it's just, it's crazy, crazy deep. And it's like, it almost needs to be standalone. Like it's kind of weird that you still have to have the base game because it's so different from the base game. If you played Civ 5 and then you just played this, like the jump is astronomical.
When I'm playing Civilization, and I go for like, I actually go for that theme. Like I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to be the Persians and I'm only going to go for economic. And I always get steamrolled by aggressive players at the start. Is there a way around that now? Like, or do you?
I'd say that they put a bigger emphasis on city states
right now.
And because of the cultural influence kind of stuff and things like that. And it's, so if that's what you're going for, the city states will back you quicker. The trade routes are another big thing that has been added. So you can build trade routes to the city states, and that increases your influence with them. And so, like, if you read my review, like, the main game I played, I didn't really attack anybody. Yeah. But I was sitting so well with probably a half dozen city states that as soon as I got attacked, I went from, like, having, like, 4 cities to worry about to having 10, well, basically having 10 armies worth of things, like, attacking nice. Crap. So like all of a sudden I got attacked and my city states were like, we're rallying to you, we got your back. And then, you know, the other, whoever was the aggressor quickly backed off.
You should have just given them the wheel like they asked for, Nick.
So there's just, like I said, there's so much in terms of co-op. You can still, I mean, a game of Civilization, I always refer to it as like, it's essentially a board game. Mm-hmm. Right, there's single kind of standalone instances. But you can play online co-op. You can still do kind of the cool things. Like, I don't know if any of you guys have ever played co-op in it, but if you team up, basically, like, if you research something, you both get that research.
Right. Nice.
If you both are researching the same thing, it doubles the speed of it. And then with some of the new stuff, like the World Congress, obviously, you can kind of, like, plan what you want to vote for. And the trade routes, you can kind of play the benefits of that. But it has online co-op, and it does the hot seat local stuff, which is how I kind of tested it out. And it's a lot of fun, the hot seat, because you're sitting in the same room. You can kind of plan what you want to do together and stuff, and seeing the stuff play out for them a little bit better. It's a little more satisfying.
Nice.
So. Anyway, that's enough talking about buying games, about playing games. Maybe that was a good chunk there. Let's go through some of the news real quick. This was missed actually until a couple weeks after the event, but Xbox One, when it was announced, there was a Crackdown orb on the dashboard in one of the little advertising spots.
We were there or was this at the reveal?
This was at the reveal.
Oh, I thought it was at E3.
Yeah.
Well, then no, we weren't there.
So a lot of people just figured it was like a placeholder thing, but IGN decided to ask about it, And they actually said, Phil Spencer from Microsoft actually said, no, that was pretty intentional there. That, you know, the Crackdown.
We haven't forgotten about you. We have Crackdown.
So it sounds like there's something Crackdown related coming to Xbox One.
That's cool.
Xbox, probably Crackdown.
Another Windows Phone 8 app.
Xbox, find orbs.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we were all too distracted by the Xbox TV, Xbox NFL, Xbox TV, yeah. Xbox YouTube, Xbox.
Okay, here.
Actually, you know what? You know what an awesome thing would be? Since Saints Row 4 is basically doing the Crackdown thing,
yeah.
Is they should take Crackdown Mobile and make it a GPS game.
And there we go.
Blanket the city with orbs. And you have to walk to the orb
and
to collect the orb.
Yes.
And then you hear the little ding on your phone.
Oh, yes. That'd be so good.
Your phone will as you near it, you'll hear kind of the little whirring noise that the orbs make, and then you walk over it.
Mm. All of a sudden you're going to get reports of people breaking into office buildings.
for every orb you collect, you get
climbing towers. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. There's an orb on the 30th floor. I got to get there.
Yeah. So I put this article in here because I think it's kind of ridiculous how things are getting, but it was just posted today. Pikmin 3, you can pre-order it digitally at GameStop.
Great.
And if you do that, you get it 24 hours early.
Ooh.
That's the pre-order incentive, basically.
Except Wii U games, the damn system only has 32 gig of storage, and the bigger games, if a game is over like 20 gig, your system actually can't install it unless you hook an external hard drive up. I don't know how big Pikmin 3 is, but when LEGO City Undercover came out, you actually could not buy the digital version, even if you had the deluxe Wii U.
What?
Oh, man.
Because it was too big, and it does, like, an install footprint while it installs the game.
Oh.
Right. And the install footprint would make the total space used greater than 32 gig.
Awesome.
Nice. Well done.
I love my Wii U, but, man, Nintendo does some dumb stuff.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. I just thought, I mean, what do you guys think? It just seems like the whole, like, trying to get people to pre-order stuff now is getting a little bit ridiculous. Now you're...
I think Kickstarter does pre-orders right, even though it's not
I do
really
too.
Pre-ordering.
I mean, that's essentially what Kickstarter is.
It's like, but give me all this stupid bonus shit I want, and then give it to me before the game comes out, most of the time.
Yeah. I tell you what, Kickstarter I've been most... I mean, I've probably... back to I'd say 10 to 12 things, various things, but
I backed two today. Two comics.
And I lost my train of thought.
Way to go, Jason.
It was a boring story anyway.
The thing that Kickstarter does.
We'll move on.
The thing that Kickstarter does.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Call of Duty.
Oh, great.
That's where it's at. That is the next big thing I hear.
They've got a gift for that.
But it's going to have co-op, the new Call of Duty Ghosts. So says a tweet from the official Infinity Ward community coordinator. They're not saying anything about it, but they will have a co-op mode.
Is it going to be Spec Ops again?
It is not going to be Spec Ops, actually.
Yeah.
It's called...
Is it going to be zombie mode?
Canine Ops.
No.
oh, done. Sold. Yeah. I will buy it.
Actually, I think...
You're the dog.
I think it was asked if it was going to be Spec Ops, and they didn't confirm one way or the other.
Yeah.
But this is me right now talking directly to you, Infinity Ward. I hear there's this website called Co-Optimus. They cover co-op stuff. If you want to announce, say, your co-op mode, you know where to go. So... Let's see what happens there.
Right. If there was a co-op mode, we're just saying. If there was a co-op mode that was like co-op dogs, like you're a patrol of dogs sniffing bombs.
Well, we could call it... Well, we can't call it Wolf Pack. We call it...
Pack Wolf.
Rin-Tin-Tin Pack. he's my favorite canine police officer.
So continuing the trend of games Turner that should have co-op camp... They should have co-op campaigns that don't have co-op campaigns. GTA 5. Did you guys watch the trailer for this?
I did.
No.
The Lost Vikings trailer?
Did you see the part of the game that was essentially just like Fuse, but like it let you hop between characters, but you have to do it in single player all the time?
Yeah.
Like there's no co-op element to that. Like, seriously?
I've lost interest in the GTA franchise.
You would.
I do.
But Jason, you can play tennis in this.
I don't care.
You can play golf.
You can play tennis.
You can go scuba diving.
Look, here is my only question. Can
I
get
a gun?
Can I get a gun that makes people dubstep in the street? If the answer is no, no interest.
All right, GTA 5 trailer came out, showed off. It was a really well done kind of trailer and walkthrough of the game and showing the characters off. And
it felt very corporate.
It was very corporate.
Maybe it was
a
soothing female announcer telling you that this feature is going to be available
in
Grand Theft Auto 5 this fall.
I mean, that was what they were going for. But it felt like, okay, I understand why you think it's going to hurt your storytelling or whatever, but like, your gameplay elements are completely cooperative. Like your core of your game, your main mission structures. You even said in the trailer, like, you want to utilize all three characters at the same time and jump between them and stuff. Why wouldn't you let that be a co-op?
Yeah, it's
basically
weird.
It looks like it's all the open world shit that GTA normally has, and then they've turned all of the missions into Payday, right?
Yeah.
The game is basically Payday. Or that one, what was that mission? Four Leaf Clover in GTA 4 with the big bank heist. And I think that's what that mission was called. Anyway, so there's a big bank heist that's like central to the GTA 4 plot, and it was by far the best mission in that game as far as like action and doing stuff, if you ask me anyway. And GTA 5 is like, it looks like there's all the GTA-ness to it, but then they say, yeah, you're going to go in and you're actually going to plan your heists and pick your teammates and do all this stuff. I'm like, great, sounds like Rainbow Six meets Payday meets whatever. And then they say, all right, by the way, you got to do this like you would in KOTOR.
Yeah.
You know, jump into everyone else's pants and make them do stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember that part in KOTOR.
Now I will play that game.
You role played that a little bit differently than Mike.
I was just trying to save the galaxy.
Hey, blue chicks need loving too. See, that's how you gotta save the galaxy.
I'm just saying that. Well, I'm not going to say.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so that's GTA 5. They are going to have some multiplayer elements. That's not going to be revealed yet. So.
They showed a bunch of people flying around in fighter planes.
Yeah. Let's move on. And this one I put in here almost specifically for Jason.
Listening.
State of Decay will not receive co-op.
Don't kill yourself, Jason.
When it was originally announced, they talked about basically the single-player game would come first, and then they were going to add in or have a separate spinoff that was a co-op, but they basically said that spinoff is not going to happen now. I know, Jason, you said that the way the game currently works, co-op wouldn't work right anyway if it was, you know, kind of tacked on. But do you see, like,
I think what they could do, because the game sold, what, like 500,000 at this point? I think that was just within, like, the first 2 weeks or something.
Uh-huh.
So the hope would be actually that they're able to then build new game where they could have co-op in it, because so the basic structure right now of the game is that you're a person, a group of people trying to survive the zombie apocalypse, and you have to go out and you have to scavenge for materials and ammo and guns and stuff like that in the neighborhood that you're in, and eventually you can move to a different town and do the same thing there. But in like a co-op perspective, yes, both people could go off on their own and go gather stuff and bring it back to like your home base and do separate missions, I guess. But once you get to that mission spot, you'd kind of have to like force the players to come back together. So I think the way that the current game is structured, it just wouldn't work as well as like a game that was built with co-op in mind, of still have that survival element, still have that, you know, kind of permadeath element that they have in play as well. Like, if a character dies, that's it. You don't get a reboot or something. But I think approach it differently. Like, you know, have it so that the players themselves are a little bit more interactive, maybe, in the actual survival elements instead of all these little side missions that you do.
State of Decay, should I go play that?
Yeah. I definitely recommend it.
Okay.
You know, you don't.
It's not on the Steam sale. It's not on the Steam sale.
You didn't buy any games recently, so you might as well make
it. Yeah, I don't really have much, so we'll see.
I would say, though, wait for it to come to PC just because, I mean, it's great now on the Xbox. Because
I'm an adult. You
can check it out. But, yeah, I'd wait for it to come on the PC. They'll smooth some things out, I think, with the game once it gets to that point.
And someone will mod it with co-op, just like they did with Just Cause.
They'll probably mod it with, like, a bunch of clown heads for the zombies or something. Who knows?
Final story I just wanted to touch on because it's kind of been in flux. It actually came up today. I got an email from our friend Maura from Turtle Beach. Remember her, Mike?
Yeah.
Xbox One headset revelations, kind of some news came out a few weeks back about that current headsets were going to be compatible with the Xbox One, and that included like third-party ones, which we did some polling and stuff and found some pretty surprising results that about 50% of people that use headsets are using third-party headsets. I think it was about 20% use the one built in the box. And then, you know, whatever the other people were doing. Don't use one at all. Don't care.
Don't care. Chat pad.
Etc. But yeah, so originally it came out that it started when we found out that there wouldn't be a headset included in the box with the Xbox One, which was vastly different than what we saw with the Xbox. And I still think that that's one of the reasons the Xbox is so successful community-wise in terms of, like, its online multiplayer and the ability to, you know, the party system and all that kind of stuff that kind of came from that. Like, the fact that everyone got this, as cheap and crappy as it was, everyone had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, there was a downside because that meant more vocal a-holes online and random matches and stuff. But in terms of playing with your friends and everything, it was a solid experience. So yeah, the Xbox One, they were going to rely on the Kinect, basically, for voice chat, which, as anybody that's tried to use the existing Kinect, it was not ideal. And having that kind of stuff go through your speakers instead of in your ear and stuff is a whole mess. So,
well, now they've come out and said again now that they're going
to... Well, yeah, so I'm getting there. Okay. Hold on. This is the long, involved story.
Oh, sorry.
Saga. Is part of
it. All right, I'm just going to pay attention to my cat now.
you go pet your cat back there. We'll keep talking. You know, everyone's all angry. Oh, my God, I'm going to have to buy a headset again, blah, blah, blah. But Microsoft came out and said, well, we're working on an adapter that'll take care of that. And then I guess the other piece of it was... what we had seen at E3, at least at the time, was a lot of the third-party manufacturers still hadn't signed deals with Microsoft for supplying headsets. Turtle Beach was actually the only one that was going to be officially licensed. And actually what we were corrected on today was it was them and Polk Audio. Mm-hmm. Which
Polk Audio?
They don't even have... Yeah, they don't even make headsets right now. Like, they're speaker people, but apparently they're doing something with the Xbox One and headsets. Maybe they're involved with the official one.
Because that's a money-making market right there.
Apparently it is. Well, I mean, if 50 to 60% of our users are buying third-party headsets to use, it's apparently a very lucrative market. And this is why Turtle Beach has 66 SKUs in their headset lineup.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a big thing. And we get emails every week from different manufacturers, small to large, of this headset and that headset and... you know, I'd say we've probably reviewed at least a dozen over, you know, the past couple of years, and we've gotten half a dozen or more in too that
there's
we
just right never here. Even.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm using one. A30s. You have the A50s.
I got A40s.
A40s. Yeah,
Steel Series ones we've reviewed.
But all these are for PC though too. Here's the thing that like always, that really confused me.
But these work on consoles.
No, I'm not saying that they don't. But it's just it always seemed weird to me to get these really expensive headsets for your consoles when you're like using it mainly for the voice chat and you're blasting the sound out of your speakers or whatever.
Well, no, they're not blasting it out of their speakers. They're using the headset for the.
They got wired directly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it.
That's what that whole mix-amp concept's for.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize how versatile these are, and they can be for anything, but a lot of, you know, people with kids and stuff, they get them solely for their gaming. They hook them up to their receiver, and they never unhook them. They don't need to. That's just how they prefer to game. And you know, I think, Locke, you were with me when we were talking to the guy at SteelSeries, and he said, like, that's the only way he games is with a headset. It's just, it's a much more involved experience, you know, to get you involved in that, and it sounds better. The sound positioning is better and stuff than what you can get from any speaker system, unless it's very difficult. Professionally tuned, you know, audio environment. So anyway, that's the headset saga. I guess as of now, it sounds like there's going to be an adapter either sold, maybe given, or something, but. Hopefully we'll see more announcements from third party folks. The whole Xbox One thing is still it's in flux. I've seen rumors now lately that the hardware is getting bumps in specs. They're talking about 12 gig of RAM.
Yeah, I heard about 8 gig. That too.
The video clock speed is going to be bumped up a little bit. I think it was just either this week or end of last week, there's a big article on IGN about how Microsoft, who's ever in charge over there right now, one of the Xbox guys basically said, yeah, our messaging has been atrocious. We really got to work on this on our way to release. So,
yeah.
At least they get that message eventually.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we still got 4 months here until release, most likely. I will say that their marketing, in terms of general marketing, is working already. I guess they have trailers going on before a lot of movies. We had a block party, and I probably had half dozen people ask me about the Xbox One and what I know about
that's
it.
That's good.
I guess word got around that I was the video game guy. And so a bunch of people asked about it. And you want to know what's funny? You know what they want to know? What feature they wanted to know more about?
Kinect TV.
TV.
Oh, TV.
I don't know how it integrated with their TV stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for as much as people rail against it.
That part of the marketing's working and getting those people interested in it.
Again, but, for us, the core gamers, not the feature that we're looking for, but you hit it. I mean, like, for the mass market, that's what the appeal is I can hook everything into this one box, and maybe occasionally I'll go play a game of Peggle 2 or something.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to talk a few minutes here about our website.
The new hotness.
Yeah, we launched a redesign.
Woo-hoo!
And
woo!
I'm incredibly, incredibly happy that it's finally out there. I'm going to share my screen on our Hangout just because. Why not?
Do it.
There you go. It's a website.
We can talk about it. It's a website. it's been 6 months in the making. I guess is the best way. We technically said, well, let's start it in like January. We had something in place in early February, and then we said, we're going to need to start over. So we started over, and then slowly trudged away and got to where we are today. Big goal was to clean it up. We rewrote everything from the ground up. If you didn't know, like, Co-Optimus doesn't use WordPress or really any out of the box software other than a forums is something. But
it's a custom application. Cleaner.
Yeah, it is a custom application. We want to make it cleaner, easier to read. How many iterations do you think we went through of our feature area, Mike?
5 or 6
at least. We couldn't find something that that made me happy.
Well, I mean, the original, you know, go back to it, like, scroll down the page to the grid, and the original concept for the 3-column grid there was that it would actually filter up Pinterest style, so
that's right,
the articles
yeah.
would be staggered and it would just read like a newspaper. It would basically be like reading an old style newspaper.
Yeah, we were going to have stuff basically increase or decrease.
Nobody
in size
does that anymore.
All that stuff.
And it looked really great, but it was a complete pain to manage ads and other bits of content.
You know the only time I need newspaper? When I have to go light the charcoals for my grill.
So going down the front page, we have a nice little feature area that we're going to kind of tweak and stuff over time. New story, latest reviews and stuff like that. Like Mike said, we got a nice grid of stories going down. We had this little area here we call our lead game, which kind of showcased a game coming up or coming out. Might have just been released. We got our reviews down here, last five or six reviews. And what else we got? We got our nice little custom content area, latest podcast, which you're now listening to. Mm-hmm. Our latest video feature, and of course, our BC reviews. You can check out those there. We got listings of all that good stuff. Video stuff, we got a nice video channel here to showcase all of Locke's awesome content. If you want to see everything we did at E3, there it all is in a nice...
I love that so much.
Nice place and stuff. It looks really great, dude, especially with all the nice little titles and stuff there.
Yeah. I've been trying to keep consistent and sort of get our branding down on the video front and make sure it's not as scatterbrained as I've been in the past years, so...
Yeah, so we're really going to push hard with video stuff and definitely be sure to check that out. The biggest change to the site, at least in terms of core functionality, is our search thing has gotten a big overhaul. Hey, look at this awesome ad. Male gamers only.
I got that ad, too.
Oh, my.
I love it.
Look at that strategically that placed warning sticker.
Yeah.
There we go. Something a little less obnoxious. So our search is now, it's a lot faster. You can add filters here. And kind of find exactly what you want. Co-op campaign, online co-op, Xbox 360. Fitty, always there.
Yep.
Fully featured.
Always.
The other big piece of this is the actual database page. Can get you around, too. We have these nice little tab navigation at the top if you ever want to see all the articles about Fitty Cent Blood on Sand. It's right there if you need to find its co-op info. Tab right to it if you want to go to our review of it. Kind of tab right to it as well.
It's still the greatest game we've reviewed on the entire site, even if it didn't get a perfect score. I disagree with that, by the way.
So, definitely check out the site. We've got a nice little feedback tab over here. We encourage you to leave us feedback. Please, if you're going to report a bug or leave feedback, use a real email address so we can have some dialogue and discuss what it is, what you want.
We're not mean people. We're just, we're honestly looking for feedback and some good feedback so we can make this a great site for everybody. It was in the video there somewhere.
Yeah.
Lovers. Yeah. We want to bring them together.
Yes, it was.
So, like Jason was saying, it's not a static site by any means. We're definitely still making improvements, and daily I'm making tweaks and stuff based on feedback.
Before the podcast, Nick and I fixed a couple bugs.
I think every morning I've been kind of tweaking a few things here and there. We got this nice little notification bar at the top too. We're going to try and keep that going every day with some fresh links to what we're doing. If we're streaming something on Twitch, or if we're broadcasting the Co-op the Cast, or if there's a review you should check out, or anything. Heck, we could even link to someone else's site if there's something we want you to check out there. Pretty flexible, so please check us out. The best part about it, the thing that we really like, is it works on mobile, tablets, and desktops in the same code, so that makes our lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know the mobile experience for some folks, I guess, has been a little rough, so that's definitely going to be one area we focus on enhancing in the coming weeks here.
Go watch my funny video. You can see Jason in a fedora.
Yes. Exactly. So I think that's it in terms of this podcast. We I have to go now.
My people need me.
I have to go. My planet needs me.
With Andrew for review, which
I hear that's I hear that Android. Makes
well yeah, embargo can't say
just don't pee on the dude's rug, all right? It really ties the room together.
Anyway, so what are we? Co-op the Cast episode 110. Thanks for watching / listening, whatever you're doing. Ending the broadcast. All right.
Awesome. Well, I should probably.